Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. I'm your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
I feel good today, Blessing.
Oh yeah, why so?
I feel like we just kind of like wiped some shit off our shoe. And like we're not just like walking into work like, hey, yeah. Like,
smearing I don't have shit on my shoe anymore.
Shoes clean now. You know, I got my clean shoes. They're Nike students, so they're fresh. I feel that, Imran. Did you watch the inauguration this morning?
I did. I got in kind of late, but I caught the speech and the giant Bible and the nice poem.
Dude, that Bible looked like something straight out of a Souls game. It looked like a Bloodborne Bible.
It's their family Bible.
Yeah,
the Biden family Bible?
Yeah.
How old is Biden's family? How old is Biden's family?
He ain't a big old Bible. Yeah, Bless, you seem like someone Bible who might like have a family Bible.
We did have a family Bible. I don't know where that thing is now, because my family's done a lot of moving. I'm sure like my dad probably still has that Bible, but that Bible does not look as old as the Bible that Joe Biden was rocking.
Maybe it's like you had a Bible that big, but you moved too much. It's like, no, we're not carrying this thing around.
Yeah, but I don't know what we would have done with that thing though, because like we're not gonna throw that big old Bible that we had away, because it was a nice Bible. I guess we could have donated it. That would make sense. That's something that my parents would do.
Yeah,
that lines up.
The giant blessing Bible is somewhere.
I did the same thing where I kind of came into it late. I came in like halfway through Joe Biden's speech. And it was one of those things where I was like, all right, this is like cool, I guess. Like this is like kind of a boring speech. But then it kind of hit me that like, that's kind of preferred. That's preferred more than what we've gotten before.
Boring
in the last
is
4 years
right now.
Yeah. Like,
there aren't explosions going on.
I thought it was cool
and
like unifying. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's intended.
It was unifying in the way, and I know this isn't like a politics podcast, but it's the inauguration day, and so like we can talk about it. It was unifying in the way that I'm definitely down with the message of everybody, let's unify and work together and not have these like lines in the sand, and like let's not fight each other anymore. I'm totally down with that message because I think that's universally positive and the thing that we should strive for. But on the other hand, there are parts of that message that are like, red and
Nazis need to unify with me. That's what I'm taking away from it.
Yeah, like there are parts of it that are like, yo, red and blue, we need to like, no matter what your opinions are, we need to come together. And it's like, well, I hear you. I'm definitely there with you, right? If we have like trivial disagreements, I'm there with you. But there are people on the other side of the line that are either racist or sexist or transphobic. And it's one of those things where it's like, cool, we can disagree on a lot of things. On a lot of things I'm not disagree with people on. But there are like fundamental things as far as like this person, I don't see this person as human or valid. I don't see their identity as valid, where I'm like, okay, I don't know where I feel, how I feel about that. And then you get into certain things of like, dude, a lot of Trump support, like the Capitol was stormed like a week ago. And a lot of those people had violent intent, right? And it's like, all right, you know, I feel like that goes beyond the idea of disagreement.
Yeah, but I think
and
that's
like,
that's what that part was later, where he was like, hey man, I'm you know, for the people that didn't vote for me, like, give me a shot. And if you don't like my shit, fuck off. You know, he didn't say it that way, but he was like, and don't try some shit again, because you will get prosecuted. We'll go get you.
I'm willing to argue with people and like have nice arguments about like tort reform. I'm not willing to argue with people about like whether you should care about people, because that seems like a very straight line of no, actually this person is valid, fuck off if you're not gonna think that. But
yeah,
I'm all for unity, but I think that the baseline for unity should be everyone's human, so accept that first.
Yeah, that said, like, today is an exciting day, right? Like, the idea of Donald Trump being out of office, I think, is the most exciting thing. And it's one of those things too where I find that today on Twitter, I usually try not to be the cynical person, and I find myself being so cynical today. And so I've like tried to not tweet my cynical thoughts, because I want people to celebrate. I want people to be happy. I am happy that people are feeling happy today, because you should feel happy about Donald Trump getting out of office. But there's still that side of me of like, man, but I want so much more for us, right? Like I like Joe Biden's here, awesome. I want us to like strive for more progressive politics and more progressive policy. And go way beyond that.
That's why it's so important that you have to keep up with what's going on in the news and continue to vote.
Yeah.
Because these changes do not happen overnight. One regime will not change it all. Like, we got to keep fucking going, keeping ourselves informed, keep voting. Because, like, we can make a difference if we all stand up. But there's a lot of people 100%. That are down to stand up against us. So let's stand up together and try to, like, fucking get more and more people in our groups.
Stay engaged, stay mad.
All good points. This has been a good talk. But this isn't a politics podcast. This is a video game podcast. So let's talk about an unannounced game from Sony Santa Monica, Fall Guys not coming to Game Pass, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping for you, the Kinda Funny Games cast is up right now. It's our fantasy video game draft. That's me, Aaron, Tim, and Greg. We battle it out and draft games based on what we think will score the highest on Metacritic. That's available right now on YouTube and podcast services. And let me tell you, that's probably one of my favorite episodes of Games cast that we've recorded. It was a really fun time.
Fun as hell.
Yeah, no, it was a really fun time arguing it out.
Even though Greg screwed us by picking 12 minutes before either of us did.
Yeah, there was a lot of like screwing each other over going on, because it, like, for those who haven't listened to it yet, I'm not going to spoil all the choices, obviously, but like, there are certain things where there's a certain strategy that goes into it this time around this year, because if you listen to PSLW, you know what the fantasy draft is. But last year, obviously, we did the Metacritic predictions. This year, we kind of mixed it up by doing a fantasy draft method to where we draft games based on what's going to score highest. And so there are certain strategies of like, all right, I have a certain game in mind, like 12 minutes I have in mind, because I think that's going to get a high Metacritic, but I could also see the other guys not picking that game because it's a little bit under the radar. And so if they don't pick it, I can then get it after the draft for like a dollar or something and then go about it that way. And so like, there are certain picks like that screw people over because Greg ends up picking it or somebody else ends up picking a different game. And it's a very fun activity.
I will very say... fun. I didn't realize until thinking about it later how shrewd Tim was. Because, like, Tim was, like, making arguments on... He was giving disapproving faces and sounds when you were, like, people were picking things. And that made me think Tim was being a little conservative. But his actual list is just insane. It's, like, a crazy man's list.
Yeah. I highly respect Tim's list. Everybody should go check out that episode again. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, podcast services, GamesCast. Very, very good episode of the Kinda Funny GamesCast. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Purple Mattress, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
Bakerstorm. Starting like with our number one.
Sony Santa Monica is looking for folks to work on an unannounced project. This is from Jordan Alleman at IGN. Sony Santa Monica's unannounced second project looks like it's still in the works, according to a job listing for an art director position in the studio. A tweet from the official Sony Santa Monica account notes that the studio is, quote, seeking an experienced art director for the development of a new unannounced title, end quote. There's not much else to go on in the job listing itself beyond the fact that it's aiming to be a genre-defining game and that'll involve characters and creatures. Back in 2018, we learned via Reset Era that Sony Santa Monica had created a strategic multi-phase long-term studio plan spanning two future projects following God of War, according to LinkedIn posts from studio staff. Of course, one of these projects is now the now-revealed God of War Ragnarok. Imran, what is Sony Santa Monica working on?
That's a good question. Because, like, had we not known about God of War, this would be an immediate, like, panic from everyone. Of like, oh, no, they must not be working on God of War yet. Like, but now that we know they're working on that, I can't imagine you work on God of War and work on a project of equal size at the same time. Even if you have two different teams. Like, there are resources that need to, like, move around so much that I can't picture that being the case. But I also don't know what Sony Santa Monica would do that's not a project that size, you know? Like, they're not going to do something small, like, arcade-y. So what could it possibly be?
Yeah, like, this kind of strikes me as similar to around Uncharted 3, where we got the announcement for The Last of Us, and somehow Naughty Dog had figured out how to, like, work on Uncharted 3 and The Last of Us kind of simultaneously, even though, like, one came before the other. Yeah. And, like, I think that's a good... If they're able to pull that off, it's a good strategy, because Sony Santa Monica, as much as we love God of War, the idea of having two different franchises or multiple different franchises that you can swap back and forth between is a great idea, right? It's worked out for Naughty Dog. It's worked out for studios like Bethesda Game Studios, right? Where you're able to switch back and forth between Elder Scrolls and Fallout. NetherRealm being another one, right? With Injustice and Mortal Kombat. I think Sony Santa Monica having a similar thing, having God of War being their core franchise, and then having another franchise that they get to develop and build up and be something that could stand equal, possibly equal, to God of War, I think could be a powerful strategy to them if they're able to pull that off. The question is, what does that look like? Especially with the idea of it involving characters and creatures, which God of War, like, this could be a God of War spinoff, maybe.
That, see that, like an Atreus kind of game or something like that? That seems reasonable, but if you're going to spin a game off, would you give it to the same studio? Just be like, hey, also, or would, yeah. I don't know. That makes sense to me, but also characters and creatures could be literally defined any game. So let's see. I don't. If I were Sony and I had all these really good studios, but some of them fit some ideas better than others, like, let's say Lucasfilm Games comes to you. It's like, hey, what studio do you think should do a Star Wars game or something? I think Naughty Dog does not necessarily make sense unless you were going to do like the Amy Hennig kind of thing, like that project. But I think Sony Santa Monica would. Not that I'm saying
for
like
a licensed game.
For a licensed game. Because they've done, like, Insomniac did Spider-Man.
True.
It worked out great for them.
Now, would you give Sony Santa Monica Star Wars when you have Jedi Fallen Order, which is a very similar game in terms of genre, in terms of how the combat flows and all that stuff, to God of War?
I mean, we don't know what kind of game they're making, but
true,
those games sell well. Sony first party stuff pretty consistently sells about like 13 to 20 million. So if you're looking for, after like 8 years of 7 years of EA just kind of like screwing the pooch, like, if you're looking for some more variety, or not variety, but less variety, more safe bets in Star Wars, maybe you do go with the thing that's been worked out really well last time.
I don't know what I want from Sony Santa Monica. I think something licensed would be interesting. A Star Wars would definitely be interesting, but I don't know how excited I would be for a Sony Santa Monica announced Star Wars. I would have to see the trailer for it. Like, the trailer would have to be the thing that would sell me on that game. If you just told me that Sony Santa Monica is working on a Star Wars, my immediate reaction would be, well, we got Star Wars from, like, we got Jedi Fallen Order, and we also have the Ubisoft game coming up. Like, if you're going to pitch me on a new Star Wars game, I want something that's completely different or weird. I want, like, a Star Wars racing game, or I want, like, a Star Wars indie game, like Hyrule. What was the fucking indie Zelda game from Crypt of the
Cadence of Hyrule? People?
Yeah, like a Cadence of Hyrule. I want that, but for Star Wars, right? Like, I want Star Wars to get weird in a way that a Sony Santa Monica Star Wars would probably be a narrative driven Jedi game, probably, or maybe just a random character in the Star Wars universe game, which could be cool.
Just
but
a dancer. Yeah. No, yeah, like, it's, I mean, you say this as if you don't remember the Star Wars Connect game, which had like that dancing minigame.
That's a good
mini point. Yeah.
That Han Solo song.
It bops. Like,
yeah.
It is a bop. It does not actually bop. So while we were talking about that, I realized we have not heard about PSVR 2 yet. If theoretically you had a big enough team, but not so big that could take on a AAA project, maybe they do a like God of War VR or something, or a God of War VR mode for God of War.
Interesting. I could see it, I guess. I'm at the point with VR, with PSVR, where I'm like on the other side of the excitement for it, where I feel like for a couple years there, we got a lot of great games for it. Like, we got Beat Saber, we got Tetris Effect, we got Blood and Truth, we got Astro's Playroom, or not Astro's Playroom, Astrobot Rescue Mission. And for the last year or so, like, we got an Iron Man VR, which is fine. We got like games like Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, and like games here or there for the last year or so. But I want that PSVR hype to build again. And I don't know what that looks like for Sony. Like, I'm sure for PSVR 2, you then announced that with new and exciting games. But do you do that with a new God of War, like a God of War title for PSVR? Like, do you trust in PSVR 2 enough that you make that franchise have that transition?
I mean, one of the issues I always have with Sony is that when they don't necessarily, like, you can tell when they're not all in on hardware. When they're exactly. Like, we're not going to give this thing our, you know, our biggest licenses or our biggest developers. That's one of the reasons I feel like Vita didn't do as well as 3DS is because, like, you wanted an Animal Crossing for 3DS, it came from the Animal Crossing team. If you wanted an Uncharted, it came from, like, Sony Bend. And I think this would be one way if they were really going all in on VR, was to say, okay, here's a God of War game or a game set in the God of War universe or something that is made by Sony Santa Monica. I think that would definitely send a message.
But would anyone want that? Do we want a God of War VR game?
You know? That's my thing also.
Oh, God, I wrote the reveal for this game. I don't remember the name of it. Do you remember the name of that Oculus game that's like a Norse mythology thing?
I think vaguely.
Yeah, I think I know what game you're talking about. I couldn't tell you the name of it.
I wrote it. I wrote the cover story for it. Don't remember it.
But that's my thing, too. Like,
Asgard's Wrath, that's it.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my thing, too, though, is like if they announced a God of War VR game, I'd be like, all right, whatever. Maybe you show me the trailer and it looks fucking dope and I'm in. But like, just off the concept of a God of War VR game, that feels like that kind of does feel like Sony doing the thing where it's like, one, how much do I trust Sony to put all their cards put all their chips into that basket, right, for a God of War VR game and go all the way with it and making something amazing. I don't know if that's what they would do with that. Like,
I mean,
a God of War VR game sounds like a thing that you would just kind of put out, and for the folks that want to check it out, they check it out. But for everybody else, it's like, cool, that exists.
I mean, Valve did it for Half-Life Alyx. Like, they made a great VR game that honestly not a lot of people are going to get a chance to play because it's a VR game that requires a heavy computer and like lots of space. But like, it's still one game of the year at GameSpot. I think if you want to make VR big, and I suppose if you're putting out a VR headset, you do want to make VR big, then you need to have like a game of the year quality game. I think there's a reasonable chance Sony will do that. It just, you know, like I said, sometimes they do it and sometimes they don't. It'll be interesting to see if they do it this time.
Do you like Valve feels good about how Half-Life Alyx performed?
Probably not, but
because like, that's my thing too. Is like, because for PSVR, I feel like PlayStation understands where the ceiling is for VR for them. Because like PSVR did I think well. I think probably exceeded their expectations.
3 to 4 million, I think was last I heard.
Yeah, and like for a while there, I think it was selling out at first. I think part of that was because they weren't producing enough for whatever manufacturing issues they had. But it was performing pretty well. A PSVR 2, I don't know how much they believe it'll sell past what PSVR originally sold.
Chat says 6 million for PSVR. So like, yeah. I guess, no, the thing is, it's a chicken and egg scenario that if you don't put the money into it to like really make it good, then it's never going to produce the money you want. So if you are looking for a thing of like, and even just a big differentiator for your console versus like the other consoles or other platforms, then like VR is one of those things because Microsoft's not interested in it. Like PC is interested in it, but like an optional thing, just like no mega PC like Valve is interested in it. Nintendo doesn't seem to be. This seems like the thing to be like, okay, we got VR, no one else does, so bring those games here.
Yeah,
I would hope that if Sony is pursuing that again, and I have all they have indicated that they are, that they really go all in on it and try and just make that unique thing, because you can't ask people to spend the extra $200 on this thing and then go, all right, here's, you know, Oculus Quest like sloppy seconds.
Mm-hmm. I hope that whatever games come with PSVR 2 are bangers. But it's on the I also think it's one of those things where, like, if I'm Sony, right, like somebody in chat mentioned that like 6 million is not an insignificant amount for PSVR sold, and like I agree, I think that's a good amount for it, but 6 million hardware units out there for a if you are Sony Santa Monica and you're going to put out a second game and put efforts into that and maybe call it God of War, even, I feel like 6 million is not a high enough ceiling for sales to make that worth it.
There has to be a sacrifice or sacrificial game of this game is so good and no one is talking about it to lay the foundation for something better. Because like, yeah, you're right. You'd probably lose money on a God of War VR.
Not God of War. We're not doing this. We're not doing God of War.
Like, you'd probably lose money on that game, but you would not, like, you need to create the space for games like that to exist, to show everyone else, like, yeah, we're setting the ground for you to bring these experiences to PSVR.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to the LinkedIn profile here. Genre defining. Actually, this is from, I think this is from the official Sony Santa Monica job listing. Genre defining. Does that sound like VR?
I get, theoretically it could. It's generic text. Who the fuck knows?
That's true. Easy to make a genre-defining VR game. That is a good point.
I've convinced myself it's that. I have no idea what it actually is.
No, I like I like this line of thought because I like theorizing what certain studios are working on, because it comes back to, all right, what is Sony Santa Monica's skill set, right? Like, they've been making hella God of War. Like, they're the God of War studio. They also made Kinetica, but that was the other one. I don't think they're working on another Kinetica.
Would be fucking crazy. First person Kinetica? That's pretty wild.
That would be pretty wild.
What if God of War, it's Mimir's, like, his point
Tales
of view.
Of Mimir.
Yeah, and it's like...
Like, literally, you're just the head swaying on the side.
You're swaying on the side, and then when you get on the vote, you get to decide what story you're telling.
It's like a Telltale game.
Yeah.
There's a FromSoft VR game that nobody talks about.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah, which is... I think that's how this kind of thing would go, unless you really went hard. Like, if they made VR Souls, that would be, one, unplayable, but
more
two,
souls.
People would pay attention to it. Yeah.
I feel like Kinetica, though, like, that is
VR
something that could be really fucking cool. Just super fast. Like, remember Thumper?
Remember Thumper?
Yeah.
Dude, Thumper VR was fucking sick.
Was so fucking sick. And it was like really, really engaging. Now imagine Thumper, but it's not like, you know, fucking beat based, but instead you're racing and you're playing multiplayer, like, person, me versus you, man. That sounds fucking wild. I'm in.
I like this.
So Sony owns Amplitude. Why is there not an Amplitude VR? That's my question.
Is there not an Amplitude VR?
I just assume
that all these rhythm games have VR modes. I'm probably thinking of Rez, though. Rez definitely has.
Yeah, Rez has a cool VR.
Yeah, really cool.
All right, now it's worth acknowledging. It's Wednesday. Me and Imran have taken over Wednesdays. Blemron Wednesdays is what I'm declaring it. I'm giving us homework.
Terrible name. Blemron.
It's a terrible name, but like, I couldn't think of anything
Ran.
Better. Bless Ran. I don't know, man. I like Blemron better than Bless Ran. Bless Ran sounds like I'm trying to take over Mega Ran's brand.
I feel like that's a good brand.
He does have a good brand, but I'm not trying to steal his brand away from him.
I was kind of disappointed when they did the giant bomb list, and like, they ran Megaron on the first day, and they ran me on the second day. I wish they'd put it next to each other so it could be like Imran, and then Megaron.
Oh, yeah. And you guys could be like the Battle of the Rons. Of the Rans.
Or like, I evolved and became Megaron or something. Like,
that's actually really good. That's actually a lot better. I'm giving us homework for...
On that one.
No, it's okay, Kevin. I'm sure the audio listeners will forgive you. I'm giving us homework. The three of us. This includes you, Kevin. We're gonna go home. All right, we're gonna go home.
I've never been more at home than I am right now.
We're gonna go home, and our homework is to have a game that we're gonna pitch to Sony Santa Monica for next week.
Okay,
that sound good?
Tales of Amir. Yeah. I feel like that's my pitch is done, and I'm stealing yours, so I have two.
Yeah. I need you to flesh it out. I'm gonna need a fucking marketing deck. I'm going to need all that shit so you can pitch it. All right, Kevin? Yeah, sound good?
Sounds good.
Let's get into story number two. Story number two, Fall Guys is not coming to Xbox Game Pass. This is Austin Wood at GamesRadar. The Xbox Game Pass Instagram account recently said that Fall Guys is coming to the service, but the game's publisher, Devolver Digital, quickly shut down this claim on Twitter. Responding to one follower's reply, the Game Pass account simply said it's coming with regards to Fall Guys on Game Pass. The Verge reporter, Tom Warren, shared this exchange on Twitter, and Devolver quickly responded to it, simply stating that's incorrect. In another reply, the publisher clarified that Fall Guys is not planned for the PC or Xbox version of Game Pass. The official Fall Guys Twitter also joined in the conversation, so there's clearly no confusion between developer Mediatonic and Devolver. In a separate tweet, the Fall Guys account explained that there has been a bit of a mix-up. Fall Guys is not coming to Xbox Game Pass. Xbox has seemingly deleted its original Instagram reply, but the Xbox Game Pass Twitter has not issued any sort of update. Imran, I feel like this happens often with Game Pass.
It does happen often, and like in a way that's confusing. That like Phil Spencer year before last, when Control was like a couple of months old, said Control is coming to Game Pass, and then Remedy was like, no, it's not. Please keep buying Control. Don't wait for it on Game Pass. And then like recently they announced it was coming to Game Pass. So like, I think Xbox I feel like they don't know. They know deals have been signed. They don't know when they're actually coming. And that, like, it seems real strange for the Instagram to be like, Fall Guys is coming, which is like, I swear I heard somewhere else before that too. And now they're saying, this confusion says to me, Fall Guys is probably coming to Game Pass eventually. But like, they're not doing it right now, and they don't want people to be like, oh shit, it's coming to Game Pass, I'm not going to buy it now.
Yeah, Fall Guys is one of those, it's one of those ones where I'm sure those conversations have happened. Because Fall Guys on PS Plus was such a great move for them, and I'm sure when they come to Xbox, a similar sort of deal where they're able to get the game into the hands of people for free or for a low price is ideal. That'd be an awesome way to release. And so I'm sure those conversations are happening. Who knows how far those conversations got? You know, maybe it was a thing of, okay, cool, we want this to happen, but the price that Xbox is paying isn't high enough, and so we're gonna back out. Or maybe like somewhere along the process, things got cut in a way that communication might have been confused. But also, like, we're talking about the Instagram, and so like that means that somebody on social either just fucked up and thought it was coming to Game Pass and just didn't realize that it wasn't, or somehow that information just got there and like wasn't meant to get out there but did. Who knows?
Yeah. Or maybe like they made some deals, and then Sony was like, hey, no, our deal doesn't allow for this.
That could be one too.
That's also a possible reason. Like, I think payment structure, however you want to put business structure, is best served by putting this game out on everything for like as low or cheap as possible. Yeah. So I think Game Pass does make a lot of sense, but maybe they also did think like, oh, actually this is selling well even after the PS Plus thing, so no need to put it on Game Pass yet or something.
Yeah, we can ride this out for a while before we go on Game Pass. Maybe we go on Game Pass next year as opposed to this year. Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
Story number three, Team Ninja is not working on a new Ninja Gaiden or Neo. This is Jeremy Winslow at GameSpot. With the Neo 2 Complete Edition around the corner, game director Fumihiko Yasuda sat down to do some interviews about both the open-world samurai action game and one of Team Ninja's other well-known IPs, the character action title Ninja Gaiden. According to Yasuda, Team Ninja has no plans for sequels in either series, though it's something he'd like to explore. When asked by The Gamer about why Team Ninja isn't planning for a new Neo entry, and I'm going to pause there. The Gamer, great name for a website.
Yeah, they recently restaffed, and I think they're making a big play these days. So
yeah,
good on them.
No, good on The Gamer. Yeah. When asked by The Gamer about why Team Ninja isn't planning for a new Neo entry, Yasuda said that the studio wants to divert all its attention and energy to working on new titles. Once Team Ninja gets some distance from the Neo franchise, however, Yasuda said he would like to go back to the series at some point, utilize all the experience and new skills that we gain from some new projects, and then potentially create an even greater game to surpass Neo and Neo 2, end quote. Yasuda echoed a similar sentiment about Ninja Gaiden during the interview, saying there's, quote, nothing to announce or note specifically at this time, end quote. Yasuda then later said that fans should, quote, look forward to some potential news for some kind of announcement in the near future regarding Ninja Gaiden. Imran, what's your reaction to this?
Headlines a bit off. Like, Team Ninja's not working on new Ninja Gaiden or Neo projects. We don't know that. We know they're not announcing Ninja Gaiden or Neo projects right now. Like, the way what Yasuda said, there's nothing to announce or note certificate this time, does not mean there's not a Ninja Gaiden 4 or something, like, currently bouncing around Team Ninja. It just means, like, they're not saying, hey, yeah, we're working on a new Ninja Gaiden, prepare for announcement eventually. I'm not sure between Neo 3 and Ninja Gaiden 4 which one I would want more.
Yeah, I was like, getting my next question. What do you want from Team Ninja?
Like, Ninja Gaiden 3 sucked a lot. Like, even Razor Dead wasn't that great. But Neo 2 was probably like 11 on my Game of the Year list. Like, that game is great. People should give it. I think you, especially after Sekiro, like, I think you would enjoy playing that game quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I will tell you what I don't want. I don't want them making a new Dead or Alive right now. Dead or Alive 4 was really good. Dead or Alive 5 was great. It was a, like, let me out myself as a Dead or Alive 5 person here. Dead or Alive 5 was a really good game. Dead or Alive 6 sucked. Dead or Alive 6 was such a, like, they clearly didn't know what to do.
What was up with Dead or Alive 6? Did that game come out for free and then charge for characters? I remember, like, seeing it on the PlayStation Store and being confused about how it was releasing.
Like, they had the retail version with all the characters, and they had a free-to-play version, like that Tekken free-to-play thing.
Yeah, Tekken Revolution. That was fucking awesome, and I miss.
It was like that. You could buy characters and then buy outfits and stuff like that. But, like, the DLC just became so... There was new costume packs every couple of weeks. There was new characters and stuff like that. And a lot of the characters weren't good. The game itself was not, like, evolved graphically over DOA 5. Like, even DOA 5, PS3, and 360 did not look that different from DOA 6. So, like, they put this game out, and it was just so unimpressive in so many ways that even hardcore Dead or Alive fans are like, you know, this isn't that good. And I fell off it very quick, and I played DOA 4 for, like, a couple of years. So, if they were going to make a new Dead or Alive now, I'd want them to really take some time and think about what that series is. Because right now, it seems like they only think of it as like a DLC delivery mechanism, and that sucks. Mm-hmm. That should not be how that game is perceived. But
that does suck.
I guess I would probably prefer Ninja Gaiden. If, like, they're working on something, I want them to have that redemption arc, like, really go at it. And so, like, because Ninja Gaiden 3 came out in that period where Japanese developers were chasing this, like, Western ideal development, which did not work for Ninja Gaiden at all, and it ended up just like they didn't. That wasn't that game's sole problem, but it ended up flowing into a lot of its other problems too. So I would love to see them put out a PS5 or a PS5 Xbox Series X Ninja Gaiden that just looks amazing and plays as well as it did back in the old days.
Dude, there was a short window toward the end of the PS3, Xbox 360 era where we got Tekken Revolution. I believe we also got, like, a free-to-play Soul Calibur, though. Yeah. I might be making that up in my head, but that sounds like something that happened. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. And I want them to try that again, because Tekken Revolution was such a cool thing for me, because, one, it was a free way to get into Tekken, and the way that it worked was the more you won, the more you got to play. Like, it worked similar to, like, actually playing a fighting game in an arcade where you would earn tokens by winning games. And, like, for me, one, that helped me get better at Tekken, because, like, I was like, well, fuck, I want to win these matches. And so I'm going to, like, or I want to keep playing, so I'm going to figure out how to win. But then also, like, I feel like that structure for fighting games, like, isn't necessarily that bad. I don't want that to be, like, the sole way to play those games, right? Like, I would like a Tekken Revolution to exist alongside whatever the next full Tekken game is. But, man, like, I'm sure they stopped doing that because financially it probably wasn't viable. But, man, I would love for them to bring back that format of fighting game.
Fighting games in general need more experimentation with their business structures and models. Because the problem is, like, if you put out a really, it's very hard to serve a lot of audiences with fighting games. So, like, Tekken sold super well, but at the end of the day, Smash Brothers is the best selling fighting game in the industry. So, like, what does that tell anybody? Like, if you're making a fighting game, what market are you trying to serve? So I think, like, different things need to exist to, or different structures need to exist to get those people on board who are like, well, I'm interested in Tekken, but God, all these people who are, like, super good at it keep kicking my ass. What do I do about that? And I think the tiered approach of like, well, here's a free to play game to try, and like people who buy this are probably not like the super good players. They're just like you, who are just trying to try the game.
Yeah, you just want to like try it out and have fun.
Yeah, I think that's the ideal way to do it.
Yeah. Do you think that Team Ninja is working on like a brand new idea? And what would you want from them if they were?
Koei Tecmo is weird because Koei Tecmo is now like one of the like hidden biggest Japanese third parties, but nobody talks about it. Like they made Fire Emblem Three Houses, which is a fantastic game. They made Dragon Quest Builders 2, which is also great. They just made Age of Calamity. Like they do very well in terms of diversity in genres. Mm-hmm. I think if they were going to make their own new, like a game of their own license again, I think it would probably be best for them to remind people, yeah, we do have Ninja Gaiden. Like, we mm-hmm. do have games like that. Like, I think it's probably wise for them to go back to their old IPs for an original game. They just did Neo, so I don't think they're going to do something new again for at least a little while.
Mm. Well, speaking of older franchises that we love, story number 4, the man who created Captain Falcon, Fox McCloud, Majora's Mask, and more has retired from Nintendo. This is from Jordan Olliman at IGN. Takaya Imamura, the Nintendo artist and designer who gave us characters like Captain Falcon and Fox McCloud and more, not to mention the name and visual identity of The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, has retired from the company. As reported by Kotaku, Imamura announced that it was his last day working at Nintendo on his Facebook page after 32 years with the company. Quote, "This is my last day I'm going to work. I took a selfie with the empty office. I guess I won't be coming in here anymore. As you'd expect, I'll miss it," end quote. And that was from Kotaku's translation of his commemorative Facebook post. Imamura worked on character designs across the F-Zero and Star Fox series, creating iconic Nintendo characters like Captain Falcon and Fox McCloud, among many more. More recently, he directed 2 Steel Diver games and was a supervisor on the last 2 Smash Brothers releases. He was also the art director of The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, responsible for the design of the eponymous mask and the game's name, as well as the character Tingle. It's worth remembering that, according to Zelda series producer Eiji Aonuma, Imamura came up with the word Majora by combining his own name with the word Jumanji. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, video games are still a fairly young industry, and I think we're finally reaching the point where, like, the legends kind of retire and go out to their farm and, like, live out their lives. Like, I was thinking while we were watching that Nintendo Universal Studios tour that might be the last time we see Miyamoto publicly. Like, it's entirely possible. There's no conventions. There's, like, theoretically, he might be the investor calls, but, like, those are Zoom calls. Like, that might be the last time Miyamoto has a public thing before he retires. And, like, we're going through this thing with Nintendo now where all these people who made these, like, 35th anniversary stuff, like, the original games are just going to be gone at some point. It's going to be up for a new blood that hopefully that new blood is as inventive and creative and, you know, both understands their history but is willing to like pave through it as much as like the previous people were.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. It's not weird to think about because like it's obvious, but like video games being such a young medium is a thing that kind of like catches me off guard every time I remember it, right? And you see somebody like Imamura here, right, be like, oh yeah, I made Tingle and now I'm retiring, and it's like, oh yeah, you're still around. you've been here, like you've been still working, and you made like these things that are classics that have helped define the medium, and so like that's cool that we get to say goodbye to him and then also welcome in new folks that want to like create and breed new ideas into whatever is the future of Nintendo's games. Yeah. Imran, my next question for you: when do we see Majora's Mask come to Switch?
This is happening this year, wouldn't it? Like, if you were gonna do it, like this would be the year because, like, it's a Zelda 35th anniversary. So, like, if you were going to ever port the 3DS games to Switch, this would be the time to do it. I feel like the easiest path for Nintendo would be just port the Wii U games up. But Wii U games, I mean,
God, I would love that so much.
Twilight Princess, like, and Windmaker. Yeah.
A collection, and it doesn't even have to be a collection because I know these are full games. Like, I understand Nintendo, they want to make that money, but like, give me Twilight Princess, give me Wind Waker, give me Majora's Mask, fuck it, give me Ocarina of Time also. Like, give me the give me all the big Zelda releases of the last couple decades on Switch, and let me celebrate.
I think
way like, better than let me celebrate in a way that's not Super Mario 3D All-Stars, because that felt like just a cash-in.
But I feel like if we do get it, it'd probably be like a 3D All-Stars kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of like, this is going away March 31st. So buy now, even though you don't necessarily know if you want it. Like, yeah, I hope they treat the Zelda's 35th anniversary with more respect. But, you know, who knows? It's Nintendo. But yeah, I would love to have the 3DS version of Majora's Mask on Switch, but they fixed the swimming. Because the swimming in the 3DS version wasn't as good as the 64 one. And that always bothered me.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you, Imran. Imran, I'm really excited about Majora's Mask and when that might eventually come to Switch, but that's so far away. And before I ask you the next question that you know I'm going to ask, I want to tell you about our sponsor, of course. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Purple Mattress. Throw some bedding on a bunch of different mattresses and sure, they all look alike. The same goes for pillows, but peel away the layers, look at what's inside, and you'll see they aren't all created equal. And that's what makes every Purple pillow and mattress unlike anything you've ever slept on. The Purple Grid sets the Purple mattress apart from every other mattress. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. With over 1,800 open air channels designed to neutralize body heat, Purple provides a cooling effect other mattresses can't replicate. And this cutting-edge technology doesn't stop with the mattresses. Every Purple pillow is engineered with the grid for total head and neck support and absolute airflow. So you're always on the cool side of the pillow. Purple's proprietary technology has been innovating comfort for over 15 years. Kind of Funny's Joy Noel has been using Purple mattress and absolutely loves it. She says it was surprisingly easy to set up and super squishy and cozy. You can try every Purple product risk-free with free shippings and returns. And Purple has financing available as low as 0% APR for qualified customers. Experience the Purple Grid and you'll sleep like never before. Go to purple.com/games10 and use promo code GAMES10. For a limited time, you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/games10 and promo code GAMES10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Terms apply. Imran, very excited about when we might get that Majora's Mask port, remake, remaster, who knows? Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, whenever it is, it's so far away. If I wanted those coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
And do 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 yeah. Out today, we got Hitman 3 for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Terratopia for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Marble Duel for Xbox One. All Walls Must Fall for Switch. Audie, the Housekeeper for Switch, and then Decrop for PC.
First of all, okay, the great timing on that release.
Yeah.
Have you been trying to get your Hitman 3 save in yet?
Dude, I've been having so much trouble.
Yeah.
I finally have the game on PS5 because it's out. And it gives you the prompt when you first open the game that like, hey, you can carry your progress over. And that would be like your leaderboard stuff. And I assume like certain unlockable items and all that stuff that would carry forward into Hitman 3. And so obviously I want to carry that stuff forward because I put in so much time and effort into Hitman 2. When I did it last night, the webpage wasn't popping up. When I tried it this morning, the webpage did pop up for it. But like it doesn't recognize that I own Hitman 2 or like that my Hitman 2 data exists. And so I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, like I think what I'm going to do after the show is I'm going to try and boot up Hitman 2 and just like play around a little bit and then see if I can get the IO account to sync. But like if it doesn't find Hitman 2, I don't know, like I can't force it to find Hitman 2.
Yeah, and I don't want like I'm in that place where I don't want to start it until I get that fixed, because it also tells you that, hey, if you do this later, it'll overwrite your current data for like your unlockable and profile and all that stuff. And like, I don't know if that means that if I unlock certain items in Hitman 3, that those get overwritten too. And so I'm scared to do it, but I also really want to play Hitman. So I'm in this weird place.
I also found that like when I downloaded Hitman 3, it downloaded both the PS5 and PS4 version, but I don't know how to get rid of the PS4 version alone. Like, if I try to delete one, it deletes both.
Mm.
So yeah, now I basically everything about this game is confusing, but I just want to play Hitman. That's like, but I don't want to play it and then it erased my save later.
I've had that problem with other games and I can't remember what the fix was. I feel like that was maybe like an update or like dev side thing of them fixing it. But I feel like there should be a way to fix that on the player side also. And I'm not sure. I can't remember what it was. But I've definitely had that same thing happen. Yeah. It's unfortunate because that's a lot of memory space.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can write into the show, get your questions answered. Just like Comrade Blue did. Comrade Blue writes in and says, "Hey, Bless and Imran. With the uncertainty of COVID-19 and its impact on the industry moving forward, how many big games do you think will be pushed out of the 2021 window? What would be the one you would hate to lose the most? Keep up the awesome work."
I mean, I imagine, so that's the thing I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, was like, a lot of things were delayed from 2020 into 2021, but now we're at the point where like, oh, shit didn't get better. Like, everyone thought, oh, by September, things will be fine. But no, it's going to be at least another year of this.
It's so, dumb now, you know? Why would they?
2 weeks, we'll be back in the office.
Also, it's like, okay. Also, now there's a vaccine. Oh, everything's going to get better eventually.
I remember being in the kind of, like, when I showed up for the Neo 2 stream, actually. And I was in the kind of funny meeting, and we were like, yeah, this will probably be like a month or two at most, yeah, and then we'll be back. And like, and like, it's not anyone's like, no one's wrong call. It was like we just had no idea.
Well, yeah, and no one knew things would get this bad.
Yeah, I imagine video game companies are very similar in that like, they thought, oh yeah, we'll be back on track for 2021 releases by, you know, end of the year at the latest. And now like, I imagine things are still like Harry Potter just got not technically Harry Potter, Wizards, whatever.
Hogwarts.
But you like, you don't think Legends? That's way more related to like what's her face being just,
I don't
a
think
bad
it's related to
person.
That I
really
I think it's a relief that
Hogwarts
they could
Legends.
Be like,
yeah, take yeah, advantage of that
separate.
Situation be like, yeah, let's this space out and hope she stops saying transphobe stuff.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think they're probably just legit not done with the game. I think my biggest fear, like, we don't know what Nintendo's up to yet. I think it's reasonable to assume Breath of the Wild 2 is scheduled for this year. If that gets pushed to next year, I'll be real sad. Even though logistically it's probably only a matter of months versus like an entire year. But yeah, that I think that would be the one that bothers me the most. I think it's a little, we talked about this a couple of days ago, but the fact that Ratchet's not, doesn't have a date yet probably indicates there's like probably COVID related things that are delaying that game out. So I hope it's in a matter of months and not like, you know, upwards of like summer or later. But yeah, I think those would be the most frustrating ones for me.
Yeah, I think Nintendo is the big one for me. As soon as I read the question, like Nintendo's 2020 felt fairly barren in terms of game releases, and I assume, like, based on reports and everything, right, that like COVID had a big hand in that. And yeah, I don't think 2021 for Nintendo will necessarily fix that. Like, I think a lot of the games that probably got pushed out of 2020 will end up coming out hopefully in 2021. But overall for Nintendo's pipeline and their release schedule, like, I don't see Nintendo as the company that is trying hard to like adjust all the way for work from home. Like, I could see them trying to ride things out because they don't want people going home with dev kits or going home with Breath of the Wild 2 and like QAing it or doing whatever from home. I feel like that for Nintendo is probably a risky enough thing where they're like, we'll delay this game as much as we need to, you know, to make sure that we can keep this thing under wraps and secretive. And so I'm with you right there that I think Breath of the Wild theoretically probably planned for this year internally, but I could easily see getting delayed into 2022 if that is their plan. Aside from that, Horizon Forbidden West is an interesting one because that's a game that I feel fairly confident in coming out 2021, but who knows? Like, the last year taught me that nothing is certain. Absolutely nothing is certain. Cyberpunk was supposed to come out in the spring, and that game is not even out on PlayStation anymore. And so, like, who knows what's going to happen with any of these games? Horizon Forbidden West possibly could get delayed in 2022, and I'll be heartbroken and surprised a little bit, but that's not outside the realm of possibility. Halo Infinite is another one that I could see getting delayed again, and that would be another heartbreaking one.
hell or high water that game comes out in fall. Like, unless it's just such a trash fire that they just can't, like, they know this will hurt the Halo brand, I think it comes out in fall and it's probably pretty good.
I forget who yesterday on, or I guess, and who in Gamescast this week talked about how Halo needs to be a home run for them.
Me and Greg were the ones who agreed on that one.
And if, like, video game development is such that, like, you might get to this fall and that game is still coming together and they realize that it isn't what it needs to be. And I think they would make the decision to delay again as opposed to putting it out as is.
Chat mentions there's a Resident Evil showcase tomorrow. Real quick, when do you think that game's coming out?
Resident Evil Village?
Yeah.
I think that's spring. I think it has to be spring. I don't know month, but like I think for what Resident Evil has been for the last few years, last like what, 3 years? I forget when RE7 came out, but like it's historically been like a spring beginning of the year release, and I feel like that cadence has worked out so well for them. And like with a presentation tomorrow, I don't think that game is coming sooner than later.
Yeah, I would bet April, May, maybe on the far end, like early June, but like the April, May sounds about right to me.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely right there with you. Imran, of course, we get to host on Wednesdays now. Wednesday is our new day to host together. I posted in the Slack this morning. I was like, wow, Wednesdays, like, do Wednesdays just not have video game news? Like, I woke up this morning and looked and I was like, fuck, man, there's not much to talk about, even though the stuff we did get to talk about, really cool, really good news items. We had great conversation and those enough to carry the show. But with that, I still went to Twitter just in case we wouldn't have enough to talk about. And I want to introduce a new segment. Of course, every now and then we have one of them rotating segments that we rotate in. I'm introducing a new segment called Bless Asks. This is where I go to Twitter and I ask Twitter a question and we get your responses and we talk them out. Twitter, to tell me about a game you're excited for this year and why. Imran, are you ready to go through some of these responses?
Let's do it.
Mitch Dyer, the homie, responded and said, Deathloop. Arkane's mastery of unique first-person combat, world-building, and characters gives me a ton of hope about the extreme potential of fast-paced, competitive Dishonored with guns. Fuck yeah. Emra, how do you feel about Deathloop? Are you as excited as Mitch Dyer?
I am very excited for Deathloop. I feel like Mitch Dyer is completely correct that Dishonored had so many good things going for it, but I never wanted to play that game action because I felt like a stealth game to me. I think literally taking off the chains and like just saying, hey, no, like do not bother with stealth, just go ham. Like that sounds fun to me. That sounds like taking those, say, giving me basically the same toys and saying, break them if you want them is a fun way to take that game design. So I'm really excited for that game.
Yeah, Deathloop I'm excited for a lot of the similar reasons why I've been excited for Hitman. Like Hitman Dishonored, right? Like back in, was it like 2016, 2017-ish? Like those games kind of came out close-ish to each other, I think. Or I might be having that mixed up with Deus Ex. Either way, both those games have similar things going on in terms of go into a level and assassinate the target. And you have all these different systems that you're working with. You use stealth, you do all that stuff. Arkane, I feel like, does that in kind of a unique way compared to Hitman. Like they both have their own unique ways of tackling that. The way that Arkane does it, or has done it in Dishonored, has very much appealed to me because it is very much give the player superpowers and see how creative they can get with those superpowers. Mm-hmm. If I thought about this discussion before this episode, I would have linked out to a video. There's like a YouTuber that does like these professional Dishonored playthroughs where they go through and like do these beautiful fucking stealth takedowns that are like all over the place, jumping all over the place, basically speedrunish type stuff. And it is fantastic.
Stealth Gamer, I want to say his name is.
That sounds about right. I think it is Stealth Gamer on YouTube. That stuff I'm fascinated with, and that is like a testament to how good Arkane is at designing their games, is like you have these tools and it's fun to fuck around with those tools. And I'm excited to see what that is with Deathloop, especially with the premise of that game being the dual assassin back and forth thing. I think that's gonna be awesome.
Self Gamer BR, chat says.
Self Gamer BR.
Yeah. What's up?
Kevin started playing some music, and so I didn't know Kevin found.
I was trying to find it, but it is the wrong channel.
Gotcha. Yeah, Kevin, if you find it, holler at me and we can play it because it is like fantastic stuff.
I found it.
You found it? Can you pull it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. I can't see exactly because the blurriness of the thing on Discord. But okay, yeah, here you go. So yeah, like this dude basically, or this person plays stealth games. And back when Dishonored 2 came out, I would just watch their playthroughs because It's like fascinating to see how quickly and how expertly can take enemies out. Yeah.
This is my problem, is that like when I'm stealthing around Dishonored, I pretty much only ever use like Blink and Possess. Like those are the only two I ever needed. So the fact that there are all these powers you just didn't get a chance, or I didn't feel a need to use, but like they seem like they'd be more useful in Deathloop, is what's exciting about that game.
Yeah. It's especially fun watching stealth game because it feels like you're watching Tom and Jerry. And like he's Jerry and all the enemies are Tom and he's just fucking them up in the most creative ways. I hope that, to what you're saying, right? I hope that gets to be us in Deathloop, where they do make it so that you feel more encouraged to use your entire tool set and get super creative, because that's the thing that I think Dishonored really excels at.
Yeah.
Back to Twitter. Let's see here. Emmett Watkins Jr. says, Horizon Forbidden West for me. I'm hoping for 60 FPS on PS5, and I have a feeling we're going to get something totally different from the origin story of Zero Dawn. So I'm looking forward to how it'll surprise me. Can't wait to go back into that world.
Just show me the hook. Like, it just being more Horizon doesn't do a lot for me, but them saying, like, because the end of Horizon, that post-credits, I don't remember if it was post-credits or not, but that sequence after the ending asked a question I had no interest in ever finding out, because I had not thought about that entire game. I didn't think, like, they asked him, like, you know, this is a really good one-off. I don't feel a need for a sequel. So let's see, like, if they do have another question of, like, what happened to the world or who killed the world or whatever, the equivalent question of that, like, oh, that sounds super cool. I'd love to find out about that. My worry is it has like a very impossible task to live up to of, are they going to be able to make a question as interesting as the first games? Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'm excited to find out. I'm not judging it as a bad thing yet. I'm just kind of worried about whether or not it'll have the same hook for me.
The PS5 and next gen, I feel like, has turned me into like a little bit of a basic bitch, because like Emmett mentions 60 FPS, and 60 FPS alone has been enough for me playing games the PS5 to like get me to go, fuck, this is fantastic. Like, this game runs so smooth. Like Spider-Man Miles Morales, right? Like the probably the biggest thing that had me feel like that game was a step up from Spider-Man 2018 was how smooth and how crisp it looked. Like, yeah, that was the thing that had me like, fuck, this does feel like next gen. And that translates to like a lot of other games that I played on PS5 at launch. Like 60 FPS alone has been enough of a selling point for me on games. And so I'm excited to see that in Horizon Forbidden West for sure.
If you get access to a 120 hertz monitor or something, try Ori. Just like, mm-hmm, try the 120 hertz version of Ori. It is really ridiculous how amazingly smooth that game looks.
Bless, is that something you'd want?
I mean, maybe.
You know, I think we can figure it out. I think maybe I have one in my garage.
Oh, how big do you think it is?
Oh, it's pretty big.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it's pretty big. It's a 32-inch monitor.
I can't tell at what part of that you guys both realize that could be sexual, or just like kind of nicely just slotted in there.
I don't know.
We nicely slid it in there.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely nicely slid it in there. Cameron Kennedy on Twitter says, Stray, 12 minutes, open roads, lake. I just want some cool narrative-focused indies. That's I'm definitely with that. Stray? Yeah, that's the cat game.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, during Gamescast, Imran, you brought up Shoe Dreams Elsewhere, and that's a game that I've been waiting for like a couple of years because it has that Earthbound, Undertale-ish kind of vibe. It's being developed by the homie Davion Gooden, and it seems like there are hints of like chill hop stuff there and stuff that appeals to me specifically, like directly, that has me very excited for that. And so I'm, as an indie release, I'm looking forward to that. And then, yeah, also like 12 minutes I'm looking forward to. Kena Bridge of Spirits is another indie game that I'm looking forward to.
Hollow Knight, like that is my, by far and away, my most excited I am for an indie game this year.
And then let's see here. Greg Miller responded to the tweet and says, I knew Wednesdays couldn't survive without me and Gary Whitta. I've never heard of that game. That doesn't sound like a real title for a game, Greg Miller. No. And so I'm discounting that answer.
Yeah.
Andy Cortez says, Little Devil Inside, Solar Ash, Outriders, Kena, and Elden Ring. What was that, Kevin?
It's 10:59. Just keep me up to date with that.
Oh, it is 10:59. Oh, we'll get there. This is like the last segment. We're having fun here. I'll do one more, and then we can wrap up the show.
Such a blast.
Let's see here. Super Shotgun says Chess 2. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see here. These aren't your wrongs. This is a fun fact. It's not worth it for your wrong.
Now everyone in the chat's curious.
About which one? Chess 2? Or about
the fun fact. Nobody cares about Chess 2. They nailed it with Chess 1.
The final boss fight writes in with a fun fact and says, Joe Biden's Bible was in his family since 1893. So it is more than 120 years old.
That is a fun fact. So it's
slightly older than Joe Biden.
Oh, zing!
Aaron Sini says Hitman 3 is also on Stadia.
That's true. I saw the thing. The Switch version I saw people in chat were a little confused about. That's a cloud version. That is not a native version.
And that is it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tomorrow's hosts for the show are Greg and Tim. If you're watching this live on Twitch after this, and Greg and Stillbike Mike playing some Avengers with the community, so get hyped for that. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.